We pass over a number of years during which William and his family lived happily and in quietness in the little cabin. It is a beautiful warm Sunday afternoon. We see William, who has meanwhile become 40 years of age, sitting in front of the door of his cabin. Near him sits on a low stool his youngest daughter, reading a book. Two boys are running around on the lawn, and the mother, holding in her arms the baby boy, is leisurely walking up and down in the warm sunshine. It is a lovely scene. The house itself looks so pretty and inviting, with the bright windows and the fresh vines creeping up on its sides, that one would feel tempted to enter and stay a little. All is breathing rest and peace. The book the little girl has on her lap is Grandmother's old Bible. She is just reading a chapter to Father, who is listening in quietness, rejoicing over the blessed words which the young girl is reading with a clear and a pleasant voice. A little noise just now is drawing William's attention, and turning to the side, he sees, to his astonishment, 5 poorly dressed men come out of the forest in slow and tired steps, approaching his cabin. They wore neither shoes nor stockings, and their ragged clothes would hardly cover their body. It was indeed a very sad sight. The men were not young any more. 2 of them had white hair, and the youngest seemed to be at least 50 years of age. Gradually they came nearer. Upon reaching the garden gate, one of the old ones uncovered his head and asked humbly for a piece of bread. William rose to meet him. "We are poor people," said the old man, "and for several days have had no food but berries and roots, which we found in the forest. At night we slept on the bare ground. We are in misery and homeless." "I feel sorry for you," replied William, "for I know from my own experience what it is to spend a day and a night in the forest, to be without food and drink and without a home. When I was a little boy, I too was a day and a night lost in the forest, and doubtless would have been torn to pieces by wolves had not my faithful dog saved me." When William said this, the men looked at each other. He noticed this, but did not know what it meant. And then he continued, "You must be very hungry and thirsty if you have been so long a time in the forest. Come in, lie down on the grass. I will bring you something to eat." So saying, he turned toward the house, but his wife, who had listened to the conversation, had gone in before him. Moved by pity, she had gone to get bread and butter ready. Her husband went down to the cellar to get a large bowl of milk, and the 2 boys brought the things to the men. They had followed William's invitation and were resting on the lawn. And when the boys came out, they fell greedily over the edibles and milk. One could see they had not had such a relish for a long time. When they were almost through with the meal, the oldest one stood up and thanked William for his kindness, asking him at the same time if he would not allow them to sleep in the stable. "We have," he said, "for several days slept outside and have not had decent sleep. In our young days we did not mind where we would spend the night, but now we are old and weak, and to sleep outside is hard for us." "There is hardly room enough for all of you in the stable," replied William, "but I have a small barn in which I keep the hay for my goats. There is room enough in it. You can sleep in the soft hay, and I will give you some blankets to cover yourselves with. Just sit down and eat until you're satisfied." Proverbs 19:17. "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." The old man made a low bow and sat down with his comrades. William got his chair and sat near them. After enjoying for a while their hearty appetite, he asked, "Now tell me where you come from, and why you 5 travel together. What are you intending to do tomorrow, and where are you journeying to? You cannot go very far, for some of you look very poorly and seem to be sick." The men did not answer immediately. At last one of them commenced a sigh escaping his lips. "Sir, it is a sad story. We are five brothers, all sons of one father. We were woodchoppers and lived on the other side of the forest, about 3 days' journey from here. Our father died more than 30 years ago. For a small yearly sum, we had the right to gather all the dry wood in the forest and to cut down trees marked by the forester. But a number of years ago, we lost the favor of our landlord. They burnt our cabin, took all our possessions, and put us in prison. Many years we were kept in a damp dungeon, which undermined our health and strength. When at last released, we were unable to do hard labor. Besides, nobody would give us any work. We were in great need, and in order to keep alive, we were compelled to beg. We traveled from one place to another, and concluded at last to come to this district where nobody knows us, with the hope to find work and help in our need. In our travel through the great forest, we suffered unspeakably, because we are destitute of everything. We have been hungry and frozen, and have at last come this far." The man stopped, and William looked from one to the other. A thought arose in his heart. Might not these ragged old men be his brothers, who had once treated him so cruelly? Was it not possible that God had sent them in their misery to him, that he might show them love and return good for evil? To be sure of this, he continued his questioning and asked, "What was the cause of losing the favor of your landlord? Did you do anything wrong?" It was quite a while before an answer came. Finally, the oldest of the men said with a trembling voice, "Yes, sir, it is as you have said. We had been poaching for many years and had killed many deer and other game. They had been suspicious of us for a long time, but could not prove it. At last, the whole thing came to light through a dealer to whom we had sold venison. We were, as my brother already stated, arrested, and having carried on the poaching so long a time, we were punished severely. At first we were full of anger, but by and by other feelings arose in our hearts. We remembered our father, who had often admonished us because of our evil doings, and reminded us of the righteousness of God. This righteousness had overtaken us now, we felt. But at the same time, we saw that instead of being angry and rebellious, we had every reason to condemn ourselves and to confess our sins to God. After our release, we desired to live honest lives. Yes, sir, it was our earnest desire so to do. But nobody would have anything to do with us, not so much as a few hatchets would they loan us, so we had to give up the plan of going back to our old occupation." Galatians 6:7. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." "Well," said William, being moved by deep pity and in whose heart the conviction was growing stronger that these men before him were his brothers, "haven't you any relatives in the neighborhood where you came from? Is there anybody who could take care of you?" "No," responded the elder one, "we are all alone. Our father settled in that district years ago, coming from another place. He was a woodchopper, and his name was Robert H." "And did you not have another younger brother?" asked William, who was hardly able to control himself. Numbers 32:23. "Behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." The men looked at each other in fright, and then stared to the ground, but not one said a word. After a pause, William jumped up and, going with outstretched arms toward his brothers, said, "Yes, you had yet another younger brother, and I am that brother." You meant to do me harm, as once the sons of Jacob did when they sold their brother Joseph, but God has turned all for good. He has kept me alive and led me in a wonderful way to this place, to my old grandmother, the mother of our father, who at that time still lived, and who brought me up in motherly love and care. She lived here in this little house, which is now mine, in which I have now lived many years in peace and quietness. God has given me, besides these earthly possessions, a faithful wife and dear children. And now you are all welcome here with me. I have enough to keep you till you have gained strength and are able to make your own living. I forgive you for what you have done to me, and hope that God too will forgive your evil deeds. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The five unfortunate men sat there like statues. While William spoke, they did not once lift their eyes to him. His words had struck them with terror and shame. So that kind man who stood now before them, meeting them in such a loving manner, was the brother they had once treated so cruelly and shamefully. And his brother, instead of rebuking them sharply for their awful deed and driving them off his place, had only kind and forgiving words for them, even stretching out his hands to help and save them. Quite a while they sat there without saying anything. At last the eldest one stood up, went to his young brother, and fell down on his knees, tears flowing from his eyes. William begged him to stand up. "Not until I have heard once more from your lips that you will forgive us our terrible sin," he sobbed. The other brothers began to come, and they too, with many tears, begged forgiveness from their youngest brother. It was a touching scene. "Yes, I forgive you," said William again and again, for he was deeply touched. "Let the past be forgotten, and come into my arms as my brothers." Then he lifted his oldest brother from the ground and embraced him with much feeling, also his other brothers. Then his wife and children, who had until now stood round them, listening to the conversation, came near and shook hands with the strangers, making them feel they were welcome and showing them kindness. When the storm of emotion had somewhat passed, William and his wife went to the barn to make it as comfortable as could be done under the circumstances, for there was no room in the house for all of them. On the hay, of which there was an abundance, and by the aid of woolen blankets, they made a temporary sleeping place on which the overtired men could sleep. But first William asked them to kneel down with himself and family and thank God for his gracious and wonderful leadings. They all obeyed the request, and William's voice exalted the grace of God which had made the lost ones come to themselves, though through bitter experience, when adding to this the prayer that God might still work in their hearts and give them true repentance and forgiveness of their sins, then the tears began to flow again from these melted hearts. With the assurance that the God of all grace would answer his prayer, William returned to his house. I do not need to say that there also he fell on his knees to praise the Lord, who had done above all that he could ask or think, and prayed for blessing to come upon his brothers. 1 John 4:8-11. God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. The next morning he began without delay to erect near his own house a plain little cabin for his brothers, they helping him as much as they were able. In the meantime, his wife procured stockings, shirts, and a tailor was called from the nearby village to make trousers for the new arrivals. Until the house was completed, they slept in the barn, but had their meals with the family. Regular work could not be thought of as yet, for the poor men were so weakened that they needed care for a good while to come, so that they might again regain a little strength. When the house, which of course was very plain, was finished, it was fitted out with the most necessary things, as beds, chairs, tables, etc. Then William bought axes and hatchets for them, that they might take up their former work again. The brothers returned the love and care of their youngest brother with deep gratitude and respect, showing it too in their quiet ways and diligence. The two oldest of the five brothers were so weakened that there was no possibility of making their own living, as they suffered most during their long imprisonment and the hardships afterwards. They only lived a few years longer, but went home, believing in the virtue of the precious blood of Christ, which had cleansed them from all their sins. To the others also the wonderful and saving power of the grace of God was made known. Romans 5:6-8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The untiring efforts of their brother William for their salvation were not in vain. One after the other came to the knowledge of their condition before God, lost and ruined, and not long after received living faith in Christ. From this time on, it was their joy to read the Word of God in fellowship with William and his family, and bow their knees before the God of their salvation and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus the fervent prayers of their father and grandmother were answered, and although neither had received the answer in this scene, yet God did according to their desires in his own good time and way. William and his wife outlived his brothers many years and enjoyed the privilege of seeing their children's children grow up instructed in the truths of God. William often told his grandchildren the wonderful ways in which God had led him in his childhood, and often cried out with the apostle in Romans 11:33, Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out! Now, to the young readers of this narrative, may God in his grace lead you to early seek Jesus and his light, that you may be kept from the paths of sin, and to go through this world with him as his possession, to the praise of his glorious name. The Lord is ever rich in grace and mercy toward all that call on him while it is called today. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, O sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power I'll tell. How the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, O sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free.